the outline of my presentation. I'm going to start with the introduction, give a brief biology and history of the Japanese beetle, and why I've decided to study it in Northwest Arkansas. I'm going to go on to my objective and the materials and methods I needed and used to obtain my objective. Then I'm going to go on to the results of my experiment, what I can conclude from that, and how that leads me to my future research. Now, this picture shows the typical Japanese beetle life cycle. It's a one-year life cycle. The Japanese beetle adult emerges in the spring. It feeds, mates, females oviposit, and when the eggs hatch, this insect goes through three larval stages where it remains in the soil and periodically feeds on the roots of turf grass. A little bit about the history. The Japanese beetle, its ancestral distribution is in the Far East. It was introduced into the United States in the early 1900s in New Jersey. It's continued to spread and establish itself, which you can see in the dark purple. It wasn't until 1997 that the Japanese beetle was first reported in Northwest Arkansas. So why has the Japanese beetle become such a problem in the United States? Well, the United States temperate climate is ideal for this insect. Also, typically there's not a limit to grassland in the United States. Nearly everywhere you look, there are large areas of permanent turf, either in golf courses, pastures, people's lawns, and this is perfect for the larvae to develop in. Also, this beetle is able to successfully coexist with other scarab beetles in the United States, and it has escaped its natural enemies. Inevitably, this leads to substantial economic damage. In both the adult and larval stage, this insect causes over $460 million of damage each year. The adults are highly prolificous. They feed on up to 400 species of plants. And in the larval stage, this insect is now the most widespread turf grass pest in the United States. And home and garden owners will spend over $1 billion a year to control this stage. And this just shows some pictures of damage caused by the adult stage. They cause damage to landscape, garden, nursery crops. In the top right, you see that's rose. They also cause damage to fruit. We see apple and peach. And they cause damage to row crops. We show a picture of soybean and corn. And in the larval stage, the Japanese beetle causes damage both directly due to their extensive feeding on the roots of turf grass. They also cause damage indirectly due to their vertebrate predators tearing through the turf searching for a grub meal. And so we see that the Japanese beetle, it's generally known that they're a very significant pest in the United States, but what about in Arkansas? And the answer to that question is yes, and we see evidence of this in visual damage, such as the pictures I showed you before. We see that damage in Arkansas. Also, over the past few years, we've done collection data on Japanese beetle adults. At just a handful of sites, we've collected over 1 million Japanese beetle adults and Japanese beetle adult traps. And so now, moving on to my objective, since this insect is a significant pest, that it leads it's a target for substantial pesticide usage, so I wanted to look at some biological control agents. So my objective was to determine the effects of five nematode species, entomopathogenic nematode species, on early instar Japanese beetle survival. I used three species of Steinernema and two species of Heterorhabditis. I chose these based on past research that has been done and expert opinion. And I want to note here that I used early instar Japanese beetle larvae for two reasons. First, little work has been done on this stage, and also it is generally known that younger insects are more susceptible to disease and stress. So I have my objective now. Here's going on to my materials and methods I needed and used. First, I needed to get my host. So in the spring, I set out Japanese beetle adult traps. I collected the adults. I put them into a cage with trays of sterile soil, you can see in the top right. I fed them, allowed them to mate, and then I collected those eggs after they laid eggs. And as they hatched, I used those first instars in my field experiments. And so I needed cages to put my larvae in to do my experiment. So I used 15 centimeter diameter PVC pipe that I cut into 20 centimeter tall sections. I put mesh screen on the bottom. Then we went out to the field and we pulled up several rows of turf. And then we used this machine to dig holes that we put the cages in. And so in the end, this is what my field plot looked like. Everywhere you see one of those circle plastic discs, there's a cage underneath there. And let's see. These three rows right here is where I did my nematode treatments. So this is a diagram of that experiment. Each one of those white circles represents a cage. I used a randomized complete block design. I did 8 replicates. In each cage, I had 10 larvae and approximately 10,000 nematodes, except for the control, of course, which I had no nematodes in. 10 days after I applied the nematodes, we went back out, we pulled the cages out, took them to the lab, and we went through the turf and the soil to search for larvae. If they were dead, we put them in white traps to determine if they were infested with nematodes, and if they were alive, we sent them to the side for about 3 days and periodically checked to see if they had died. If they did, we put them in white traps. And so let's move on to the results of this experiment. Now remember, I put 10 larvae in each one of those cages, and as you can see from this table, on average I was recovering less than 3 in each cage, and with my high p-value, statistically speaking, there were no significant differences in my treatments based on the average number of larvae I found. But this really isn't the number I'm concerned with as much as the proportion of larvae that I did find, how many had nematodes. And so I ran an analysis of variance on this proportion, and I found that there was a significant difference. And to find where that was, even though it seems pretty obvious, I ran a paired student's t-test and found out that Heterorhabditis bacteriophora was significantly different than all other treatments. To verify that inference, I transformed my data. I normalized it by taking the arc sine of the square root of that proportion value, just to see if indeed what I inferred was true. And again, we still see significance. So what I can conclude from this, well, from my experiment, I can conclude that actually all 5 nematode species were able to successfully infest and kill early instar Japanese beetle larvae, but after the statistical analyses, we see that Heterorhabditis bacteriophora was proportionally better at causing infestation and mortality to Japanese beetles than the other nematode treatments. However, I still have this question hanging over my head. What happened to my grubs? Remember, I was only finding, you know, an average of less than 3 in each one of my cages. So I had many theories to this, many different answers to this question, but I narrowed it down to these two. First of all, handling first instars. They're very delicate, and that probably led to a lot of their mortality and not being able to find them. And then also the natural death and natural conditions that I find out in the field in my cages could have contributed to their mortality. And so these potential answers to that question I had leads me to my future research. And for the handling, I'm thinking about using maybe the hardier eggs or later instar stages, which are obviously much hardier than the first instars, which are very, very delicate. And also I would like to do a survey of Japanese beetle larvae densities and their distributions in northwest Arkansas. And doing that, hopefully, with the handling future research, I want to get, hopefully, a greater Japanese beetle recovery so I can get a better assessment of how well these nematodes work at causing mortality to the Japanese beetle larvae. And with the survey experiment, or just the survey, I would like to answer the questions to Japanese beetle larvae distributions and densities in northwest Arkansas. And with that, I would like to thank the University of Arkansas, Entomology and the Horticulture Department. And there's a list of other professors outside of the department who have helped me out tremendously in this research. And obviously, I'd like to thank my summer workers. Any questions? All of them are. I use Steinernema scarabae, which isn't, they're like the Rutgers people here, they're found more in colder weather, and the only reason I use it is because they are so good at causing mortality to Japanese beetles, and so, but they would not be found in Arkansas naturally. Yes?
When you went through your soil, did you find ants in soil?
Yes, I did. Well, I actually did some little preliminary treatments. There were staphylinids in there. There were ants and spiders. And I actually did some small experiments putting those ants, you know, in small petri dishes with just a few grubs. And after, you know, I just waited 10 days to go back out. And 10 days later after I did those little treatments, or testing the ants, they didn't seem to do much, neither the staphylinids. So, but predators, you know, obviously was one of my theories in the beginning, but not sure if that's quite it or if it's just handling. Yes?
I'm sure you said that, but I was wrong on this, that you released them as neonates?
Yeah, the Japanese beetle.
And how long did you wait until you went for the pond?
10 days.
10 days later?
No, actually, excuse me. Yeah, I put them out as first instars, and then just 2 days later I applied the nematodes, and then 10 days later.
So they were still first instar, and they're pretty hard to find, and you go over the soil, unless you have like a sand, good chance
that
you squish them, especially the ones that are high infected.
Yes, I could have squished them. But again, I did tests on that too, and we did preliminary treatments where I put turf plugs on top of them and went back days, 2 days later, 3 days later, to see if, you know, if putting a turf plug on top of them had squished them, and not really.
But what happens is if you go through the soil, and you might, if they're infected up to 10 days, they're very delicate, so you might injure them, and sand gets attached to them, and they're very well camouflaged.
Yes.
Very well. You might want to wait a little bit longer.
Okay.
Because I mean, for if you apply against first instars anyway, you're not worried about damage. That's not going to happen until they're at least 8 or 7.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hours.
Thank you.